From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We have begun a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, God's Enemies Shall Bow. The text is found in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 5. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. The ungodly world is hard to teach. Egypt does not know Jehovah, and therefore dares to set up its idols, and even ventures to ask, who is the Lord? Yet the Lord means to break proud hearts, whether they will or not. When His judgments thunder over their heads, darken their skies, destroy their harvests, and slay their sons, they begin to discern somewhat of Jehovah's power. There will yet be such things done in the earth as shall bring skeptics to their knees. Let us not be dismayed because of their blasphemies, for the Lord can take care of His own name, and He will do so in a very effectual manner. The salvation of His own people was another potent means of making Egypt know that the God of Israel was Jehovah, the living and true God. No Israelite died by any one of the 10 plagues. None of the chosen seed were drowned in the Red Sea. Even so, the salvation of the elect and the sure glorification of all true believers will make the most obstinate of God's enemies acknowledge that Jehovah, He is the God. Oh, that His convincing power would go forth by His Holy Spirit in the preaching of the gospel, till all nations shall bow at the name of Jesus and call Him Lord. Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Continuing his series of studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled, One Bible, One Gospel. Paul referred to the gospel he preached as the gospel of God. For many years, there have been those who have taught that Paul's gospel was unique to him, that it had little or no relation to the rest of Scripture, particularly to the Old Testament. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the Bible is one book, that the gospel Paul preached is contained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. First of all, he is explaining the character of the Old Testament, which Paul termed the Holy Writings. Although the Holy Spirit used men to write the Old Testament Scriptures, the words were and are those of God Himself. Then the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel of Christ through the various covenants, the prophecies, the types, and the historical events. Now to continue this message, one Bible, one gospel. Here is Dr. Cairns.
But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So once again, Paul is saying the gospel I'm preaching is the gospel that the law and the prophets were preaching. Chapter 4, verse 3. Talking about Abraham as the example of a man justified by grace through faith alone in Christ. For what saith the Scripture? Notice the argument. My gospel is the gospel by which Abraham was saved. What saith the Old Testament scripture? It's the same argument. Later on in chapter 4, from verse 6 through to verse 25, to the end of the chapter, he goes on dealing with David, and then he comes back to Abraham. And throughout that long passage, it's the argument from these Old Testament illustrations that this gospel that I'm preaching, that the Jews so despise and they hate and they're objecting to, and Jews were saying then what apostates are saying today, this is a Pauline imposition upon the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, it is not my invention. It is not my imposition. It is not a departure. It is the very gospel that God has been preaching throughout the Old Testament. Just look at Abraham, the father of the nation. Just look at David, the greatest king of Israel. Just look at these two mighty mountains of Old Testament testimony and history, and see in them the gospel that I'm preaching unto you. You find the same thing in chapter 9, verse 27. You'll find that there the apostle this time cites Isaiah. Actually, you can go a little earlier to 25. And he's quoting Hosea, speaking of the Gentiles. And now, verse 27, Isaiah speaking of Israel. And in both, he is making the same point. I'm preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Where am I getting it? Go back to Hosea. Go back to Isaiah. That's where I'm getting my gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are the proof texts. Time does not allow me to go through all these. Chapter 10, most of the chapters taken up with the same thing. Chapter 15, two separate sections, the same thing. And right at the very end, in a glorious section, verse 26 of chapter 16, he's speaking, well, we read 25, for the whole doxology, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, that's the Old Testament, by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to the nations for obedience to the faith. All throughout this book, Paul is making the point very, very forcibly. There's one book, and there's one gospel. Now, in our text, the beginning of Romans chapter 1, the point is forcibly made that these promises center on Christ. Now, this gets me to the nature of the connection between the Old and New Testaments. Now, this is vital that you understand this. What is the connection between the Old and New Testament? It is a connection of promise and fulfillment. That's the connection that God has established between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is the promise. The New Testament is the fulfillment. And let me just back up a little. When I say the New Testament is the fulfillment, I am not saying that in the sense of the prophetic future. I know there is yet prophecy to be fulfilled, and in fact, it will not be till we get to the new heavens and the new earth, till everything is fulfilled. But in this connection in Romans, Paul is talking about the gospel. He's talking about the person and work of Jesus Christ. He's talking about justifying grace. He's talking about salvation by faith without works. He's talking about the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. These are the things that are occupying the apostle's thought. And he's saying the Old Testament is the promise. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the promise. And that is good news for the world. That's what Paul says in Acts 13. These are the glad tidings. As I pointed out last week, going through all the types and shadows and prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament, God is coming to a world of hurt and of sin, a world that's scarred and marred and ruined. And he's saying, I have long promised a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Here is the fulfillment. I have long promised the seed of the woman, the virgin-born Redeemer. Here is the fulfillment. I have long promised a sacrifice that would put away sin by the shedding of his own blood. Here is the fulfillment. I have long promised that I would send Emmanuel, God with us here on earth. Here is the fulfillment. That's the message for the world. There is no other message worth the name of the Almighty. I would not put the name of God to the trash that is being talked about in pulpits around America. The social gospel nonsense. The thing that makes the gospel of Jesus Christ a touchy-feely little thing where God becomes little more than a pet teddy bear to make people feel good for the moment. That's not the gospel. The gospel is of a holy God, from whom men are alienated by wicked works, but yet who has made and has revealed to men means whereby his banished be not expelled from him, and whereby the guilty can be constituted righteous and fit for heaven. There's not a soul that has any sensibility to his own wickedness and his own need that can ever think that he's fit for heaven. Every mortal man who has any gram of honesty about himself will feel, I am utterly unfit for heaven. The only thing that I am fit for is the darkness and the fire and the pain of a lost hell. People who say, I'm good enough, God will surely be satisfied with my best efforts. Those people simply tell me that they've never given the slightest thought, never mind deep thought, either to the nature of God or the nature of their own being. But to people who know their plague, God says, the Old Testament has the promise, the New Testament is the fulfillment. Don't look any further than Christ. If I could just stop there, let me tell you that tonight. Whether you understand all the theology of Romans or not, you're not saved by your understanding of theology. You're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And if tonight you can't even understand the depth of Paul's reasoning, yet learn this. If you're burdened with sin, look no further than Christ for God's answer to your sin. If you're headed for destruction, look no further than Christ for God's escape. If you're longing to be whole and you're longing for heaven, look no further than Christ, for God is saying, I have made the promise. Now I have given you the fulfillment. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus said, come unto me, not my church, not my ministers, not my disciples. You can come to the church and be damned. If you come to the preacher, you'll be disappointed. But oh, if you'll come to Christ, he says, come unto me. I will give you rest, because the New Testament is the fulfillment of all that God has set forth in the Old. Now that is a very important point for us, because I don't want to be unnecessarily contentious, but I will say this to you, however unpopular it is, generally in America today among fundamentalists, that any system of theology that is based on the notion of a basic discontinuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament is a false system. On the very face of it, when the Holy Ghost is saying, in the Old Testament, Christ is proclaimed in promise. In the New Testament, Christ is proclaimed in person as the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Then any system that bases its whole outlook on a discontinuity rather than a continuity, rather than a development of the new out of the old, is patently false. So when you turn to this New Testament, you find that wherever, for example, Paul went, he expounded the Old Testament to do what? To preach Christ. To preach Christ. I couldn't tell you over the years the number of times people have come to me and said, this has opened up the Old Testament to me in a way I never saw before. All I ever saw in the Old Testament was history, lists of names, events that people told me, taught me principles to live by. But I wasn't seeing Christ. It was always a big leap from the Old Testament to the New. Wherever Paul went, remember, the only text of Scripture he could ever take to preach Christ were from the Old Testament. We read in Acts chapter 13 at verse 32. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Turn over to Acts 17. And there you will find in verse 2, that the apostle, verses 2 and 3, Paul as his manner was. Now notice that. This is not a flash in the pan. It's not a one-off thing. This is the usual. This is Paul's standard behavior. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He went through the Old Testament and he showed them Jesus Christ. Now that means that anybody who's preaching the Old Testament to you and he's not showing you Jesus Christ is not preaching the Old Testament as the apostles preached it and as the Old Testament is meant to be preached. Isn't that clear? Preaching Jesus Christ, but he was showing the necessity of the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And he was showing the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the message of the Old Testament. And wherever Paul went, this is how he preached. We turn over in Acts chapter 20 to Acts to chapter 26 and verse 22. Here Paul is standing before King Agrippa. And he's giving his testimony. Wonderful thing to be able to do, isn't it? Standing on trial for his life, and he can give his testimony. And he's saying here, having therefore, verse 22, obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both the small and great. Now watch this carefully. Saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Paul is saying every detail of my message is firmly rooted in the testimony of the Old Testament Scriptures. ¶¶
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.